Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing.
Righteousness and fear. Those two terms in our Christian walk seem odd to a certain extent. One sounds pressure-packed, and the other sounds pressure-filled. Righteousness leaves us with an understanding of doing right for God. But fear reminds us we always need God. Righteousness is not a daily term in the world, except when, well, it's used as a negative. Oh, they're trying to be all righteous. Better than me. But fear, typically, something people have every day on some level. But as I step back and think about those terms, righteousness and fear, in the scripture Pat read so well, man, we all have them, don't we? We all have moments when we feel God's guidance in complete right paths, when we've made a good choice, where his presence is there, when everything and everyone seems right. God leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, Psalm 23 says. For me, it's hearing a great piece of music, having an awesome breakthrough in a conversation, having tears when something so moves me, or it could have been this weekend when my stepbrother and I had two nice experiences going up to the pagoda in Redding. If some of you have been there, we drove up to the top, even at nighttime, Jim describing the pagoda lit up all red and white, and the wind blowing, it had a haunting quality to it. And then there was the time when some of you commented this morning that I'm completely different, when the going under the throat cut razor for the first time, and the towel, that hot towel that's pressed against you, what an awesome feeling. And then we all fear, right? We all wonder, is something going to go wrong? I can't prevent the future. I have to give up control. For me, a certain amount of fear happens, other than being around bees, when I go to, well, an unfamiliar environment, a building I've never been to, when I'm around the person I've never talked with for a while but have to interact with, or even when I'm going into a conversation I know where people are absolutely going to disagree. Any of this sound familiar? It's interesting, our passage for this morning puts righteousness and fear together. And on the surface, one could ask why. It doesn't really make sense. One seems really positive, and another seems negative. Except when you consider living with the full righteousness of God in your heart will allow you to fully fear him. Full righteousness. righteousness, full fear. That's the key to a Christian life. Can we say that together? Full righteousness, full fear. Just full righteousness, full fear. That's fine. Full righteousness, full fear. Friends, righteousness and fear allow us to experience the awesome and awful moments while giving to, walking with, and worshiping in body and spirit and in word and action one greater than ourselves. Righteousness literally means the quality or state of being just or right, having proper conduct. Fear is unusually defined in the Bible, though, according to the world. It is defined as to revere, hold in highest regard, not being afraid of, but to be constantly aware of. Psalm 111, verse 10, the verse before our passage says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise." Full righteousness and fear, friends. Fear is where it should all begin. Having an understanding God is in control and nothing we do is going to change, like it or not, that reality. I often wonder when I'm talking to people how they can be so happy. So much in the world goes wrong. I hear so many disappointments. People always want something more, and it grieves me so. But they're happy wanting more. Does that make sense? They're happy wanting. Do we realize we're not promised another moment, another day? Or are we we're somehow entitled because of standing right in our good standing in this country somehow? And for some, for many of us actually, we have good health. We have our financial status. We have positions in life. But we can so easily forget God has given it all and can take it all. Why not have full righteousness and fear? Trust knowing God is there. Therefore, why not possess a full righteousness and fear, acting as best we can, truly with God's will in our hearts and lives, thereby focusing us and others on him in all we do and say. Full righteousness, full fear. You hear that in our psalm this morning, right? Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who delight in doing his right commandments, who are gracious, merciful, and righteous, who deal generously and lend, who conduct their affairs with justice, who have given to the poor. All the wonderful things Carol outlined, the Council of Churches does. Here it is in Scriptures. To do the work of the Lord to make people's worlds better. And the psalmist also says this, fearing God will especially be a blessing by the evidence in the righteousness of God for one's future. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, for their descendants. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. Blessed are those who conduct their affairs with justice, for good will come to them. They will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. I often hear people ask, well, that's great, but what difference does all this God talk make today? It's a different day, a different time, different people are around, more options, more reasons people are giving not to come to church, more excuses people give not to turn to a God, and more justification people have for just going about their lives with absolutely, positively no direction. They're just existing, not living. But as I often say, because of that reality, isn't there a need, friends, for Christians more than ever to show direction, to share hope, to give comfort, to help, to offer help, to extend love, to shine light, to be disciples in a world where many are starving for meaning and purpose? Isn't there no better time for Christians to model a true righteousness and fear, telling people, hey, there's something better. Joy unending and unfailing can be yours the same way as it is for us. So are you doing that? Are you in your workplace telling the annoying person God loves you? Are you on the street, as Shirley talked about, just passing by, somebody who might need help? Are you lifting up God to your family member who's always against you? Are you lifting up and saying God loves you to somebody who can't stand you? Or maybe you can't stand. Well, it sounds nice, doesn't it? Righteousness and fear allows us to do it, but sadly, we don't always believe it ourselves. We talked about that in our Bible studies this week. We can't reach people if we don't believe God can change it. God can help us too. We're struck down by horrible news events, right? By rude people. We're frustrated in, well, like everyone else with things going on, people mistreating us. Not enough money, not enough time, not enough resources to get something done, to do what we believe needs to happen. And yet, here's the psalmist still saying, praise the Lord! His full righteousness and fear. Have it. Anything. Anyhow. Anywhere in life. If we're truly having full righteousness and fear, we will have, as the psalmist says, no fear of bad news. Our hearts will be steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Our hearts will be secure, and we will look in triumph on even our enemies. Why? Because we'll be giving ourselves everything we have to God, knowing everything is not ours. We're simply managers of what he's given for a while. And therefore, why not have full righteousness and fear of God to show others God loves us, loves everyone. He will do great things for me, for you, for the world. Do you believe that? Full righteousness and fear. That's the key. And because of that wonderful promise from God, my friends, we as a people, as a church, as the body of believers, can come as a church, as the body of believers, we can come and a real difference, a real breakthrough of Jesus' presence can happen. That's the kind of picture the psalmist describes. If we act truly upright as people and fear the Lord, we'll turn even our enemies somehow around or drive them away, even as the last verse says. They won't even be a thought anymore. That sounds amazing, right? A world with no enemies? Now one can say, gee, the psalmist is crazy. That'll never happen. For Baltimore Ravens fans, there's always going to be New England Patriots around. For Pittsburgh Steelers, well, we won't go there. But didn't it happen, friends? Didn't it happen in places in the Bible where good people did good things? And it may not have gotten them great things right away, and it may not have gotten them blessing right away, but God's favor was there eventually. Well, Jesus is the greatest example among them. The living God in our skin, he turned out in many places in his ministry, homeless, abandoned, and tortured to death. That divine skin was shredded by God, raised him to life everlasting, and oh, the difference he made for all people. And what about Moses, this small, speechless man who was called to lead people, this humble man out of Israel, and he said, absolutely, I'm not worthy. And God said, yeah, you are, you have gifts. And God finally got into Moses' head, you can do this. And even Moses, in his most humble state, led the Israelites out, and I'm sure not always hunky-dory on the journey. But God brought blessing in the end, even with the famine and the violence and the isolation. And I'm sure some Israelites dropped out on the journey. Or how about Job? Both God and Satan agree, and Job is about as near mortals, the best person in Scripture, and in his skin, his family, his possessions, and in his soul, he suffers for it all. And yet God shows him at the end, you had to go through this for me, and Job gives thanks for the great inheritance of earthly suffering because he now is in God's blessing. He now realizes in God an inheritance of eternal sustainability. So we got to go through some stuff in order to find blessing. Why are more given more suffering? You got me on that one. But God is there for all, my friends. And it's up to us to extend that full righteousness and fear and love to everyone. They may not be easy to show, but they will be a blessing, dear friends, now and always, as we follow Christ, as we grow in Him, as we share our faith, as we live His message, as we bring His kingdom alive in this place and beyond, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? Do you feel that? And if not, how do you need to get there? How are you holding back from the Lord? What are you afraid of? What's going wrong? And you wonder, is God still there for me or for others? If you have any of those questions this morning, I invite you to come forward when our last hymn is playing in a little bit here and pray together. We can pray together because I often have those questions. Why? Why, God, are people struggling? When is my struggle done? Having full righteousness and fear may not fix everything, but the question is, are we open to God helping us to fix it, or try at least? Are we trying to do it ourselves, which inevitably is not good? In our congregation, are we looking at the future and saying, it's hopeless, or are we trusting God as our future secure somehow? And we are possessing and demonstrating a full righteousness and fear, knowing if we do all we can do with what we have, God will somehow bless us. Do we believe that, and are we doing it? We will bring light to darkness. We will bring people closer to Christ. We will allow our children and grandchildren and all young people, and all people for that matter, to see a greater sense of meaning and purpose if we can show that righteousness and fear. We will, in our efforts, be rewarded as God gives us strength. We will never be shaken. We will turn hatred into love. And Satan and evil will not win. Christ's joy will triumph. Do you really believe that? If so, you are a part of making it happen right now in all you do and say. And so are we as a people. Together. In all the events we do, the small groups, the Bible studies, the breakfast we just had for our youth, the ways we support one another, the encouragement cards, you name the ministries, we have a chance to make a difference. Full righteousness and fear, that's the key. Let's say it again. Full righteousness and fear. Let's say it again. Full righteousness and fear. That's the key, friends, as we follow and serve Christ. I'd like to close with this poem called Bouncing Toward Triumph by Vita Augustine. Bouncing up with gratitude, my heart leaps midst jubilant and beats. Rising to praise God for His blessings overtaking me this new year. Propelled by the Holy Ghost, my faith strides steadfastly. Ascending along trust push to triumph amidst obstacles of all kinds. Advancing the Savior's kingdom, my spirit promotes righteousness, surmounting hatred with His forgiveness, gripped by love's transforming drive, plunging in prayer to overcome gripping selfishness, my soul serves the Lord with His might, reaching out to others in compassion, lifting the needy, propped by cares possessed, vanquishing skeptic doubts, that's a tricky one. My mind hurls negative thoughts to prevail through Scripture's assurance and zoom toward worship's bliss. Empowered by Christ who leads my life, accelerates in His control, since He upholds me by His grace, hoisting me from sin's downfall once and for all. My friends, if we possess a full righteousness and fear, nothing will hurt or harm. Nothing will kill or destroy us. Just let's not be our own worst enemy. Let's turn to Jesus and always allow him to lead. A full righteousness and fear, that's the key. And with them in the heart, somehow, we'll just know and feel God always for us there will be. To God be the glory, in Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to come forward if you would like to pray together for a full righteousness and fear to be in your heart from God. And if not, just pray quietly at your seat, prayerfully, the words of a hymn as we sing, reminding us together the ways of the Lord teach us truth, and the precepts allow us to have that righteousness and fear in all. So go and share them, model them, live them. It's not going to be easy, but God's care, God will be there. He sure cares. Make a difference. Go in peace and bless.